Welcome to Small Bites with Glenn Gross and Derek Tim. We hope you're hungry.
Spaghetti, you can eat with a spoon. Oh, SpaghettiOs.
Hit it.
Where's the beef?
Cookie.
He likes it.
Nothing for you. Nothing for you. Nothing for you.
Feed me more.
Long as I can have you here with me, I'd much rather be forever in blue jeans, babe.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, cats and dogs. Hey, this is Small Bites on Wildfire Radio. I'm Glenn Gross. I own Fat Jack's Barbecue in Philly, and we have a bunch of special listeners today. I know you don't know this, Derek, but our lady...
So it's more than our normal one listener.
More than our normal... No, two. Come on, we've gone up in the ratings. Our Lady of Peace, Troop number 161 out of Williamstown.
There you go.
Whoop, whoop. They're out of... Actually, it's Danny and his group and his bunch, and the leaders, Dorothy and Mark and all those guys. They're at the Roosevelt Scout Reservation for a week. I'll bet the adults are going to flip over the last few days and over the next few days. But anyway, the guy that's across from me, who's so dapper and so really good looking, is
Derek Tim of BlueJeanFood.com. And my goodness, I will give Glenn credit this week. He did bring in food. It was not chicken and biscuits.
But like it was chicken something.
It was chicken something. He brought in food, but more importantly,
yeah, definitely.
Oh my goodness,
I got blown out of the water.
Tim Monk of Gloucester City's famous Monk Man's Barbecue. Good Lord, did he outdo himself with pulled pork and jalapeno brisket and cheese and mac and cheese
egg rolls.
Tim, how's it going?
Very good. How are you?
We are very well.
I'm full.
You brought some along with you.
Yeah, yeah. It's our new thing that we've been doing the last few weeks. It's fantastic.
Did she make them?
She is a helper, yes.
Uh-oh. And who is she?
Who is she?
This is my beautiful little daughter, Sophia Monk.
Hello, Sophia.
Hi, Sophia.
Hello.
Would you like to say hello to anyone? Glenn gave 20 shout-outs, so you can at least have one.
You can have one, but it's my show. So. Come on.
One person.
What? Your best friend.
Your brothers? Mom?
Hello, my brother.
Well, we're glad
that was good.
We're glad that your dad brought you along.
She's better than you, Derek.
Everybody's better than me, Glenn.
Yeah, we know that.
But nobody's better than Tim at these egg rolls. My
goodness.
So tell us, how did these come about? What drew the inspiration, and how did you know that these were going to be so darn tasty?
The inspiration was actually my cousin did a cheesesteak egg roll, and I saw it. I said, "Oh, you know, I do all the barbecue." I said, "I'm just going to put it in my barbecue twist to it." And
there you go. Listen to this crunch.
Yeah.
He's just making any excuse just to eat. But tell us how you chose those three flavors.
My big thing is brisket and the pulled pork. That's my two favorite things to cook. And I just thought it would go well together.
We're having a little microphone problem here with Tim. How long did you smoke the brisket and pork?
The brisket and the pork is probably anywhere from 9 to 11 hours.
Okay. What temperature you use?
Between 225 and 250.
Okay. Wood, hickory?
I use mostly pecan.
Oh, good.
Pecan, a little bit of hickory, and a little bit of apple.
But I tasted,
pecan.
Yeah.
Pecan is my most prevalent one.
Yeah, I tasted just a touch of hickory in there. I didn't know what the other ones were.
Yeah.
Because I'm not that good.
And for me, the pecan gives it the best. I love the color from pecan.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
What gives you more joy, going with the traditional plates that you're putting out that you know everybody already loves, or do you like putting twists on traditional products?
I absolutely love trying to do something different.
I mean, because that's a lot of trial and error, and sometimes you can make something and you're like, oh my goodness, I shouldn't have did that.
Well, I'll tell you, through Facebook, after I try something, I'm like, please, 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 let it be good. Let the reviews be good.
I do the same thing. It's like you try it, you trial and error. I mean, I just throw crap together. And if,
well, to anyone who wants to go to Fat Jack's Barbecue,
wait a minute.
Glenn just throws crap together.
Let me rephrase the statement. I just throw crap to you. No, I throw a bunch of stuff together that I want to try and like, and I play with the flavors. And then once I get kind of where I want to be, I tweak it and put it to a writing, and then that's where I come up. And we tested the specials and so on and so forth. Nice. How about you? What do you do?
Pretty much the same thing. Yeah,
It's trial and error.
It's trial and error.
Yeah, it is. And what do you do, Derek?
I just go Nothing. To anyone who wants to cook for me and eat as much as I possibly can. So how does someone come about to get one of these egg rolls or any of your normal platters?
We're all on Facebook. You know, my Facebook page is Monkman's Barbecue. And, you know, weekly I'll put a post out there what I feel like making that weekend. And you can just leave a comment what you want to order, and then Sundays are a pickup.
Wow.
What's the most you've ever made?
Yeah, if you're saying like a tray like this, probably 50-some trays of food.
Wow.
50 trays.
Where do you come pick it up?
At my house in Gloucester City.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And cool. How is it that you choose where you get your meats? Is there a particular brand that you like? Do you go for free range or anything like that?
Honestly, no. No. For me, it's the easiest because I work 6 days a week.
Yeah.
I just go to our local ShopRite.
Okay.
And that works out good for me.
Hey, look, that's all right.
Yeah. You know? I mean,
there's nothing wrong with that.
The proof is in the pudding.
There's no pudding here, Derek. Stop.
All right. If stop. There was, I'm sure
it would be all over you already.
Yes, it definitely would be.
It would.
It would be all over me. What's your best seller?
Probably the brisket.
Okay.
The brisket's the best seller.
Do you use a nose on brisket or a flat?
A flat.
Okay. What's that?
Do you approve of that?
Yeah. Well. Yeah, you know what? It's funny. I used to use flats, nose-off briskets, and they got, three and a half years ago, this price went to $7 a pound. So I started using nose-ons, the big briskets, 13 to 15, 16 pounds. And I stayed with them, even though the price dropped, because they're a lot more tolerant, and they come out really more, you know, a whole lot juicier, and the deckel and the nose part of the meat are just so juicy, and you know, you trim the fat, and I'll tell you what, I'm happy with it. Nice. You know, it took a long time to train the cooks how to trim it, though, while they're working with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I'll tell you what, Monkman's Barbecue, you have to go to Facebook, you have to order absolutely everything from A to Z, because it's great. And every time you come in studio, Tim, I mean, I want to say surprise us, but we're not surprised, because you're an excellent
chef.
Thank
you.
And everyone needs to.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Everyone at least needs to try one of your dishes, if not all of them.
You said you work 6 days a week.
Yeah.
What do you do?
I'm a quality control inspector.
For?
The company I work for, we import fruit from Peru, Chile.
Oh, okay.
All over the country, cool. All over the world.
Cool.
That's great.
That's pretty.
Well, he's going to be working a lot more.
Yeah, he is, isn't he?
Cooking food like this. But we have someone else who is online with us. It's Melissa Coleman, and she has a new book called The Minimalist Kitchen. How's it going tonight, Melissa?
Hi, how are you?
We are doing great. So for this new book, what was the inspiration to go through with this? Why don't you give us a little bit about your background and about the book?
Yeah, so I am a graphic designer. I'm a trained graphic designer. I was kind of born a graphic designer. When things don't work, it drives me crazy. And I found that in the kitchen. My kitchen kind of broke for me. I had the problem of too much stuff and not the stuff that I needed. And then when I became a mom, a working mom, I could not figure out. I was a blogger. I was a food blogger at the time as well as a designer. And I could not figure out how to get dinner on the table before like 9 o'clock, much less grocery shop, much less figure out where the spatula was in the kitchen. So the kitchen broke for me. And I looked over at my husband one day and I said, Kevin, I'm going to quit this room, or I'm going to fix it. And lo and behold, the minimalist kitchen was born.
And you also, you're a home cook, a baker, mother, wife, and minimalist and designer. I mean, that's juggling.
It's a lot.
Yeah. That's juggling a lot all within itself. And I would have to agree with you, and I'm sure Glenn would as well, being a professional chef. having a well-organized...
Did you say professional?
Yes.
Okay.
Well-organized kitchen not only helps in productivity, it helps in your performance as well, yes, because there could be something that you're cooking, and if you're searching for a tool or you're like, oh, I need to get that out of the oven, you can't find the mitts.
Yes. Your problem.
Yeah,
you got to use your bare hands.
Yes.
That's a problem.
That's a problem.
Yes, totally. You're starting over. Yeah, yeah. Your mixture curdles.
Yeah, I have no fingerprints left.
So. In the meantime. Yeah. I tell people in the book, too, to think about it like you're running a restaurant. Restaurants are so efficient. They get food on your table in a really fast time. And if you think about how they do that, they're not cooking like the home cook. So we can steal a couple of those things from the professional kitchen.
Mm-hmm. And also what I like about the concept of this is millennials, they are going, they've changed many landscapes and things that we think were normal. One of the things that they have changed dramatically is the real estate market, that they really are minimalist in real estate. So they're having smaller homes, smaller condos, smaller kitchens. Yeah. So this really hits home to what is trending currently.
They've also changed legitimately the restaurant business. They really have.
How so? I feel like I just kind of do my own thing, but how do you do that in the restaurant?
Well, they're looking for lighter stuff now. They're looking for they don't necessarily care about the price as long as they're getting the quality that they want. And menus are scaled now a little less than they've been over the years, and they really do set the trend in a lot of situations. Not for us, for example, but in a lot of these newer restaurants, they're geared towards millennials.
And also with your book, you hit the nail right on the head that I don't want to say trending, but I think we're just more focused and aware, is that you are, with the book, giving available quick, minimal dinners that are mostly plant-based. And that's really fantastic with the health-conscious consumers.
Yeah, we landed on that by chance. My husband was in graduate school, and we looked at our budget, and we're like, oh my gosh, we have to hack away something. Like, we've got to do this life less. And so we thought, if we just get rid of meat, then our grocery budget will be significantly lower. And then once we made enough money, once we got out of graduate school, we started adding meat back in, but only the meat we could afford. Somebody told me during that time, they said, Melissa, you should eat the meat you can afford. So buy good meat and eat it when you can.
Yeah,
so I just adopted that and then learned to cook quick by the weeknight with beans and legumes. It has saved us.
And
saved our budget.
Yeah, and also you're a big fan of Martha Stewart. Is that correct?
I am, yes. Even in high school, when people were not watching Martha Stewart, I was watching Martha Stewart.
What is it that drew her to you? What personality trait, or what was she doing that she spoke to you?
You know, I look at myself, and maybe it's kind of, my diverse background of what I do. I'm a maker, and I just like to make things, whether I'm using food as my medium or design or my home. Or crafting. I don't even know if people call that crafting anymore. That might be an old school term. But I just like to make things, and I'm happiest when I make things. And so Martha Stewart made everything, and I could learn to make everything by watching Martha Stewart. In fact, I would DVR. Oh, this was in college, so embarrassing. I would DVR Martha Stewart show and come home after work. I just graduated and work out to the Martha Stewart show.
Oh, that's
as a recent college grad.
That is great. Well, just as long as you don't follow her
path,
her path of crime. No, I'm just stay on the straight and narrow.
But that's right. I'm hoping she learned that lesson for all of us.
Exactly. Yeah. But if you do, I mean, hey, maybe you'll have a show with Snoop Dogg with this book. Who knows?
Snoop and Melissa.
There you go.
Film at 11.
Oh.
No, I think it needs to be Melissa and Snoop.
Trending.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. That's right. Put that first.
So what? What?
It's such a trendy topic, and I'm like, I am not a trendy person, but it's trending right now. Minimalism.
Exactly.
Then you are a trending person.
Exactly. So what would you say?
I guess so. I just don't know.
There's obviously many things that were came very easily in the book. What was the most difficult part about writing the book?
Minimalism is such a stodgy word. It can be like you hear it and it produces something in you. And I didn't want to write this book for minimalists because maybe they're most likely they're probably already doing this. Their mind already is this kind of crazy. I call this mindset kind of crazy because it can be sometimes. And so I wanted to soften minimalism to make it really doable. As a designer, my job was to communicate information in a beautiful way, but also make it really relatable and consumable.
You know,
so I tried to do that with this subject.
You know, the Derek and Minimal have something in common. They're both stodgy. So, you know, I'm just saying.
Glenn just wanted any reason to say
that's
that
right.
word.
But, yeah, I like the word.
But you also
No comment.
But you also have an extremely successful blog. Why don't you tell us about that in about a minute or so?
Yeah, so I blog at The Faux Martha, not The Fox Martha. Some people have said that, and I'm like, oh, gosh, what do you think I think of myself? But it's The Faux Martha. And it started as a hobby blog when so many started 10 years ago, and we moved around a lot. My husband was in graduate school, and it just moved with me. It had no choice. And it became a job, which was kind of crazy. I still look at it as a hobby because I love it. And I was a baker blog for a while. And then after I had my daughter, I just kept coming up against this problem. Like, oh, dinner keeps arriving at 5 and I have nothing. What will I do? And so I started to slowly tackle dinner time so I could feed my family before everybody was just angry at me. My daughter had like a 5 o'clock alarm clock that just erupts.
We want food.
You were tired of people screaming at you.
Basically, thank you for saying that for me. Yes, everybody was screaming at the cook, and I had to figure out a way to make dinner time more pleasant.
Well, I'll tell you what.
The Minimalist Kitchen was born out of the blog.
I'll tell you what. You've certainly made all of us here very pleasant.
Absolutely.
And it was a joy talking to you.
Thank you.
Melissa Coleman.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Oh, no problem at all. The author of The Minimalist Kitchen. Why don't you give your social medias or anything like that before you go?
Yep. I'm at The Faux Martha everywhere. And you can even type in theminimalistkitchen.com to get to my site or thefaumartha.com.
Great. Thank you so much. Have a great night.
Take care, Melissa.
Thanks, guys. You too. See ya.
Bye-bye.
So how about that, Tim? Does that speak to you? Do you like to have things organized and in a place? Because there's usually two schools of thought. You're usually a chef is very organized or a chef is just completely a mess.
No. You have to be organized. Have to be organized.
You should see my desk.
So you're saying you're a little messy, Glenn?
Yeah, a little bit.
Just a tad?
Yeah, but I can find anything anywhere. So just a little.
So if someone blindfolded you, you would still be able to find it?
Probably. Not.
And how about with kids? If someone who is a perfectionist or likes to have things in its place, that's usually kind of difficult with kids around.
It's very difficult with the kids.
So, Sophia, do you ever move any of your dad's stuff? No, you don't.
On purpose?
Do you hide anything?
No.
She looked at him first. You see that?
So what's the one tool that you could never work without?
Come on, that's an easy question.
The smoker?
The smoker.
Yeah, of course the smoker.
Jeez.
Well,
I was going to say my thermometer first, but...
No, you need the smoker first.
You can always eat it any flavor it comes out. But we have another chef to talk to tonight, and that is Chef Todd Richards. And he has a new book that is coming out as well called Soul. How's it going tonight, Chef Todd?
I am doing well. And yourself?
Oh, we're good. Great now that we're talking to you. So just like Glenn in studio, you are a self-taught chef as well and paid your dues in numerous restaurant kitchens before becoming an executive chef. And now national attention, acclaim, a great book, and multiple James Beard nominations. Wow. How does that feel?
You know, I still pinch myself when, especially when it comes to the book. You know, when you start out in this career, you never know where you're going to end up. Just hard work and dedication, and then when someone's interested in your story that you have to share, it's still a very very auspicious moment. You know, I still don't know if it's real. I look at the book myself and it's like, man, did I write all this?
You're like, darn, that is one good recipe. I should make that.
He has to look at the cover and check his picture to make sure, you know?
I mean, you've been on a competitor, Iron Chef. You've been named one of the four chefs to watch by Esquire magazine, and you are the owner and chef of Richard's Southern Fried in Atlanta. So tell us, what was the inspiration for the book? Because from what I hear, you not only cook the traditional sort of things, but you do a twist, like our chef in studio, Tim Monk. He does a twist on barbecue. He has barbecue egg rolls in studio. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that and your book?
Well, the reason why I wanted to write so is to tell the story of traditional soul food and how it moved into the modern context and how it continued to move into the modern context. So each recipe or section of recipe starts with a traditional dish, like in our collard green recipe. The collard greens are traditional, just like my grandma would make it, you know, onions, ham hock, a little bit of vinegar, salt, pepper, crushed red pepper flakes. But I wanted to move it forward and move the conversation forward, because just saying that soul food is just one thing, it really isn't. It encompasses so many different variations to it. And understanding that in the South, there is no term soul food. Soul food is a Northern term. And it, you know, if you go to New York soul food is a little bit different than Chicago. And if you go to the far West and you see the Latin Asian influences in the soul food, you are starting to understand that it's just not one linear thing. Just like French cuisine is not one linear cuisine. That soul food, you know, encompasses so many diversities and so much different uses of spices. And I wanted to get that message across to everyone. And then just tell the general story of my family, how I grew up as a kid, you know, where delicious food was a requirement for a good time. And if we didn't have delicious food, or you didn't bring delicious food to our house, you probably weren't brought back anytime soon.
What's your favorite dish?
You know, it's so crazy because I look at the book and, you know, we've been doing the book tour and cooking out of the book. Mm-hmm. And today I had an event and we did the smoked tomato out of the book, because tomatoes are plentiful right now. And everyone wants to look past all the ugly tomatoes. And I asked the farmers to give me all the ugly ones. And we smoked them and puree them with chicken stock and then, you know, strain it. So we have this beautiful broth with field peas and beautiful microgreens and shrimp. And it's like, this is a dish that anyone can make. And just looking at it from the standpoint of not utilizing ingredients that people would normally discard, that frugality is really one of the hallmarks of soul food. Mm-hmm.
And what I really like about your book is you organized and featured ingredients in for the chapters, where a lot of people with their cookbooks, they'll go to, say, events or time of year, where you've broke it down to like collards, onions, berries, seafood, corn, tomatoes, like you said, you cook today. I like it broken down that way, because for me personally, when I do cook, I have a certain taste of something that I'm looking for. And if it's a taste of seafood, I like how I can just go to seafood and enjoy and have everything that I want to cook right there and not have to flip back and forth. So congratulations on that. Was that your idea to break it down like that, or was it the publisher?
And most definitely was my idea. I have hundreds of cookbooks, and I understand that specifically when I'm looking for something to reference or something for inspiration, I want to go directly to that. And being able to go directly to it, but also having footnotes to refer to other chapter, you know, other, you know, recipes in the book, really gives the, you know, the person using the book a tool that they can, you know, use forever. I mean, if you want to talk about corn and what's in corn season, and you see all the references to corn, and you can use corn in many different ways. And then also, you know, bringing the frugality back into it, that we don't throw away the husks, we don't throw away the cobs when you're using fresh corn. Then we have, you know, six other dishes that can come out of that one single dish that you're finding in that recipe when you just have the taste for corn.
And also, I like your mashups and the way that you combine ingredients. There's one in particular that really caught my interest, which is your collard green ramen. That sounds...
Oh, man, that is... You know, that's actually a dish from me being a kid, really, where that dish came from. My mom had this love for this warming soup at the Chinese food restaurant around the corner. It was noodles, a little bit of sliced pork belly, soft-boiled eggs, scallions, and all this broth. And my dad, in his frugality, said we could never throw things away, or if we order out, we had to have something left over in the refrigerator we put on the table as well. So having those collard greens there with the ramen, you know, and you have these two distinct broths that really go well together, and then the vinegar and the collard greens, you know, cut the fat of the pork belly. Like, this dish only makes sense. I mean, and it's so much fun to share it, because this, I was eating this dish when I was 5-6 years old.
Back up a second. You said you don't waste corn husks and corn cobs. What do you do with them?
No, well, corn husks, you know, you can make broth with it. I mean, mm-hmm. Most people will just discard it. We just tell them to wash it and you know, make corn broth with mm-hmm. it. I mean, that's really the best way to do it. The silk, if you wanted to, you can actually just, poach them in the same corn broth. And we use them like noodles as well. You got to cook them for a very long time. Mm-hmm. So, and then also with the silk as well, you can just fry them and they become crispy. And it's like eating a little bit of corn straws.
Wow, that sounds good.
That
really sounds good.
That is phenomenal. I'm going to tell you what, Chef. Your house sounds like it was delicious every single day of the week. And
week, year.
My goodness gracious. And it was a pleasure talking to you. You have Absolutely. My mouth watering from everything that you've mentioned. I can see why you've won so many awards, so many accolades, and we wish you only continued success.
You should see Derek's shirt, Chef. It's soaked because he's drooling so much.
Chef Todd Richards, the author of Soul. Go out and buy it now. Feel free to share any of your social medias or anything like that before you go.
Yes, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Chef Todd Richards. And if anyone buys the book and they post pictures of the book, I ask them that they post those really dirty cookbooks that have been used, you know. I'm glad everyone's purchased it, but get into the book and use it, you know. And there's a great hot sauce recipe, so, you know, put some hot sauce on the book, whatever, but we just want everyone to enjoy it and share it with their friends and family.
I couldn't agree more with Absolutely. You. Go out and go get it now. It was great talking to you. Have a great night. Bye-bye. Well, Todd, from
that was
one great cookbook to another tonight. It's one.
This is Cookbook Central. Wow.
We have joining us online now. Let's see if we'll get the last name right, because you know that's a struggle.
You never, ever, ever get a name
it's
right.
It's a struggle sometimes on this show.
You got Smith wrong once.
I did.
You did.
Tracy Medeiros, the author of the Vermont Non-GMO Cookbook, and she's coming down to our neck of the woods soon, Glenn. How's it going tonight, Tracy?
Did he get your name right?
I am doing very well, and I must say you did an excellent job pronouncing my last name.
Damn it.
Well, even the losers get lucky,
Glenn.
Well,
I keep score, Derek, and you're really a loser.
Time for me to buy a lottery ticket tonight. So tell us a little bit about the cookbook, what it's all about, and then we'll start talking about Philadelphia after that.
Fantastic. Well, the Vermont Non-GMO Cookbook simplifies the complexity of the non-GMO movement into recipes that include ingredients that do not contain genetically modified organisms. And readers will find ideas for serving healthy, delicious meals using recipes that offer alternatives to the foods that we usually eat. And I've also included profiles so folks could put a face on the hardworking folks and also understand their passion and understand what they do, because their work is really, really hard. And I wanted to bridge that gap so people could understand their passion. It's just so inspiring.
Now, why is it, it seems interesting to me that so many food movements come out of Vermont. Why is that? Say like Ben and Jerry's and the non-GMO movement. Why is it that this tiny state in the Northeast is responsible for large portions of the way that we eat today?
Well, first of all, we have a lot of farms. We're a big farming state. And number two, we really take our food seriously. It's a way of life. These farmers are very passionate, as I just mentioned, and they really care about healthy communities. And they really care about the planet. And they are very mindful about what they do. It's not for a profit. It's really about passion. And we are, this small state of Vermont, we are truly a leader when it comes to the food movement.
And I think you hit it right, the nail right on the head. And I don't think I've heard that description before, that it was for passion and not profit.
I've never heard that.
And
that's what really fuels my books. It really does, because when I do these books and I hear these folks, and, you know, they work so hard and it's unpredictable. And over again, you just hear their passion. And that's what truly inspires my work. And I know they don't have a lot of money, and my projects give them a platform. And I love what I do because I'm able to spread the word for them, and where they might not have that opportunity. So like right now with you, I'm able to talk about what they do. Or when I get press, say in the newspaper or magazine, I'm able to spread the word and their passion.
You know, I was going through your book a little while ago, and the pictures are absolutely magnificent. The recipe is very, very easy to read. And easy to follow. And
thank
there's
you.
Credits to everybody, for the most part, that the recipes came from.
Absolutely. That's important for me, to give credit to these farmers, to these chefs, to these food producers, and also as a thank you for them trusting me and allowing me to do what I do. The state of Vermont has truly given me a career. And so as a thank you, I try to give back as much as possible, because I'm very appreciative and very humbled, for what they've done for me.
And with you, as you said, spreading the message, you're talking to us tonight, but very soon you are coming to the glorious town of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, July 21st, and you're going to be teaching a cooking class at the highly regarded Cook right in Center City, right in Rittenhouse Square. Tell us a little bit about your visit.
Sure, absolutely. I'm so excited, first of all. The class is held on Saturday, July 21st, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., and the event is sold out. So thank you very much, Philadelphia, for supporting me. I will be recreating four dishes from the Vermont Non-GMO Cookbook. All of the folks who attend the cooking class will get a signed copy of the book. And I'll be creating four recipes, as I mentioned. And the first dish is a charred corn salad with cherry tomatoes, cilantro, and this amazing Mexican cheese.
Mm.
And it's just a simple combination of sweet corn, cherry tomatoes, and it's laced with fresh herbs and lime juice. And then it's topped with this salty, amazing cheese. And then the second dish, I'll be making this smoky lamb bolognese. And it's basically a quick sauce that would rival the depth and richness of a long-cooked version. And then I'll be for recipe number three, an olive oil and sea salt crostini. And it's just three basic ingredients: bread, olive oil, and sea salt. And it's just this really nice crispy toast, and it pairs so nicely with the pasta. And then lastly, I'll be making a dark chocolate and sea salt cookies. And the cookies are tender, but yet crumbly, yet salty, yet chocolatey. So
keep going. Keep going.
I know. It's every part of your palate. So by the end, you're just going to be like, so pleased.
Do you have room
for... that's what I'll be making.
Do you have room for two radio hosts?
My.
I would love to. I know that we're sold out. So I'm not quite sure. Like,
oh, my God.
I'm going to tell you. You need to tell them to have you have a second night.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
I can see why it sold out. What a fabulous menu. Congratulations.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a wonderful space there. And I know everyone that goes always has a wonderful
time.
It's
a great space. I've done things there. They really do a great job.
Yeah. I mean, there's not a bad seat in the house. It's personalized. You get to have it. I mean, it's hands on. You're right there. So Philadelphia, have you ever done a presentation at Cook before?
I haven't done one there.
Oh, you are
before,
going
so
to
I'm
enjoy yourself.
Honored.
Yes, you are going to.
You're
going to
have fun.
I'm sure I will.
Thank you. Oh, no problem at all. Now, what is your favorite recipe in the book? You've just gave us four. That's not like my favorite recipes. But what's your one favorite
recipe? I read the Lambon A's recipe. It's good.
Yeah. Well, I also love, there's a honey glazed pork belly recipe in the book. And I really love it because it's very succulent and it's melting. It has a melt in your mouth texture. It just has all these wonderful rich flavors and layers. And for dessert, I also love the apple raspberry pie because it's just beautiful and it's rustic and it just, the apples and raspberries just pair so nicely with the crumble topping. And also there's a northern lake fish chowder that I think is fabulous as well. Visually, as well as, you know, it's sweet, yet there's crisp flavors, the hard apple cider, and there's smoky flavors from the lake fish, and it's smooth and velvety from the cream of the fish stock. So that's a really great one, too.
My.
I could go on and on.
Oh, man.
Go on. That's all right.
Well, I mean, obviously, you are a food writer, a food stylist. You as proven, you are a recipe developer
and a hell of a cook, I bet.
Tester, a hell of a cook.
Thank you.
Glenn said, you also write for the Farmhouse Kitchen, a guide to eating local for Edible Green Mountains magazine. And I'm going to say one other thing. You need to get someone to have every single menu item in your book on someone's restaurant. And just
why are you looking at me?
And just have you read out
absolutely
the recipe of what it's going to taste like, because the way that you've described every single recipe was wonderful. That had to be one of the best descriptions of recipes we've had on this show in quite some time. Well, it was a joy talking to you, Tracy. Can't see her now because it's sold out for July 21st at Cook. But make sure you visit any bookstore or Amazon.com to pick up the Vermont Non-GMO Cookbook, and feel free to share any of your social medias or websites before you go.
Sure. I'm TracyMagaris.com, Twitter, TMagarisVT, or the Vermont Farm Table Cookbook for the Facebook.
Fantastic. Have a great night.
Take care.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Anytime.
Wow.
That was a hell of a description on
every single. What did you think about that?
It was fantastic.
I think we should have had her describe.
I was hungry just listening to her. Well,
and Derek's drooling again.
It's a shame I didn't think of it. I should have had Tim describe.
Right. And then let her improve on it.
And have her read it out because, my goodness gracious. And Glenn, it wasn't just in our imagination.
No,
it wasn't. Because we have the perfect person online with us.
Who would that be?
Revital Horwitz, who is the author of It's Just Your Imagination.
Did he get your name right?
It's Revital.
He got it wrong again.
Well, I can't get the.
How many people make mistakes?
We did the best we could tonight. We did the best we could. So.
I appreciate that.
So, you in this book. It's a little bit off topic of what we normally do, but you always sensed that something wasn't quite right in your life, but you couldn't pinpoint the cause. Why was that?
Right. So after all those years where I did not understand what was wrong with me, because things were said in a way, but they were done in different way. I felt like there was lots of things that are, as a child, I'll explain from the beginning. I felt like things that were told to me, like do this and this, or these are the values, were not actually being honored by the person who told me to do those things. And at age of 48, I discovered after I had a visit from my mom from Israel, and I saw her behavior here in such an extreme way that it made me go and see somebody seek help. My husband pulled me there, and the lady who saw me said, "Oh, this is easy. You're a daughter of a narcissistic mother." And I said, "Really? What is it?" So I started reading about it and learning about it. And through therapy and help, I was able to understand that the reason there were things that were told, that my mom was telling me, but acting differently, were actually the way narcissistic people control people, other people.
Yeah, were constantly told by your mother when you would bring things up, it's only your imagination when you questioned her.
Exactly.
How frustrating was that? How frustrating was that?
Definitely. It's very rocky for kids, I think, when their parents tell them that what they see, they don't really see it, and what they hear, they don't really hear it. It's only their imagination. You end up questioning your world. So this is not a healthy environment to grow up in. For me, it was very obvious when I started writing my journey that this would be the name of the book, Adjust Your Imagination. But
and the book, I mean,
say it, something about
with this book, It's Just Your Imagination. For the listeners out there, this book gives you the tools to live a pain-free life if you were raised with an individual such as a narcissistic mother. And you are giving a first-hand account of your personal journey, and it offers an understanding of maternal narcissism and its implications on the person that it's being directed towards. So I think that this book can definitely help a lot of people out there, because this is a subject not a lot of people talk about.
Exactly. And I found out more things about it when I wrote the book, and after I wrote the book, and when I published it, I found out that it's way more popular. I don't know if this is the word to say it, but it's so much wild existent in our society, all over the world, crossing cultures, crossing continents, crossing families, everywhere. It's everywhere. It's within families. It's in at work. It's really everywhere.
Well,
and awareness brings help.
Exactly.
When we understand what's wrong, we can do something about it.
Well, I think what you are doing by bringing awareness to this subject and this topic is priceless. And we thank you so much for calling in the book. It's Just Your Imagination. Why don't you give us your social medias or anything like that before you go?
Thank you. So my website is www.revital.com, and you can find my book on Amazon and all other medias, and I have a Facebook page, and I would love to connect with whoever needs some help and support. I'm here for my readers. And just for just people who need some help.
Well,
this is my mission, and that's what I do.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Have a great night.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate that.
No problem. No problem at all.
Take care.
Well, from one important subject, Glenn,
to another. That was a great segue, by the way.
I try.
No, you don't.
It's the importance of getting as much jalapeno in your diet as you can possibly get.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And we have the perfect people online with us, Sarah and Corey, who are owners of Little Bird Kitchen.
Little Bird Kitchen.
How's it going tonight?
I love being called perfect. That's wonderful. You can call me perfect all the time. It's terrific.
You are perfect.
And I'll tell you what,
I want my husband to hear you say that.
Now I'm going to have to listen to this forever.
You are perfect, and your husband has to recognize that. There you go.
Just take the sound bite and make that your ringtone.
Thank you for that.
Yes, make that your ringtone. And we'll do one
we'll
better.
Do a special one.
Here we go.
1, 2, 3. You're perfect.
Sarah, you are perfect. See, I personalized it, Glenn.
Wow.
That was amazing.
Her head is getting bigger and bigger as we speak.
You're going to need double doors to get her out of the house with a bucket of grease on each side to grease her head out.
You're right.
So,
I'm going to send her down to Philly to you.
So since we've already put it through that Sarah is perfect, Corey, let's talk to you for a second.
Are you perfect?
Tell us about Little Bird Kitchen and these products that you were kind enough to send us. And man, were they delicious. The crunchy peanuts with the candied peanuts with just that little kick of spice of jalapeno and the fire syrup. Fantastic. Perfect, as we should say. Why don't you talk to us about
it? Great. Sure. That's what we do. Everything we do is hot and sweet.
So we take jalapenos and we turn them into magic.
And that's
perfect.
What you had. So you had our and they're perfect, exactly.
so we take jalapenos and we turn them into magic, and that's what we add to our chocolate, our trail mix, the peanuts that you've enjoyed. We also turn them into a syrup and a powder.
And so all of these encompass of what Little Bird Kitchen is, correct? Tell us, what is Little Bird Kitchen?
So we're a confections manufacturer that does some curious confections. We started off kind of in a strange and interesting way. We had 2-year-old twins at the time, and I started a food blog, and it was all about making mistakes in the kitchen while we're making dinner, and it turned into food gifts, and Corey loves chocolate-covered orange peels, so I made them for him 1 year for Hanukkah. And once I realized that it's a process, I kind of went on a candying kick, and I candied everything in the house.
I joked. We had to keep the kids out of the kitchen because they would have been next.
I stumbled upon some,
Sarah's got a World War II mentality. Nothing goes to waste. And
like that chef before, the frugal.
Right. So we had some jalapenos in the house from a recipe, and she said either I use them or I have to throw them away, so I'm using them. And she said she was going to candy them.
So
I looked at her and I said, that's a terrible, go ahead.
So candied jalapenos, what makes them different from other heat sources? Because you think jalapeno, and you there's no way that candy and jalapeno normally go together.
Yes, they do.
Surprise! So with candying, it's a process using sugar. It's a French candying technique that we use. And we use jalapeno because jalapeno allows all the other flavors of whatever you're using to come through first. So, and then we taught, my seven-year-old son says it all the time, the heat comes at the end.
Yes, yes, it's nice and sweet. What did you think, Tim?
That was great.
I mean, it's nice and sweet right at the beginning.
Yeah, it has a little heat note at the backside, but
and nice. It catches you in the back of the throat.
Yeah, and it's not overpowering. And with your message, press one. Talking about jalapenos.
Talking about messages.
Yeah, talking about messages. We'll talk about
that. I think that was on the line. I don't know why. Sorry about that.
But it was perfect.
No problem. But talking about jalapenos, we have Tim Monk in studio of Monk Man's Barbecue, and you guys will probably really enjoy this. He has pulled pork and jalapeno egg rolls that he brought into studio.
Don't
barbecue egg rolls.
Wish I was there.
So we had like a whole jalapeno theme tonight between jalapeno and pulled pork egg rolls.
What more do you need?
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, and then now for you guys, is everything hot and sweet?
Yes, everything we do is hot and sweet.
So in the relationship, who's hot and who's sweet?
We know who's perfect. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You're perfect.
If we had to pick, I think I'm the sweet one.
Definitely. I'm not the nice one. He's Ooh. The nice one.
You're the perfect one.
So this is what happens if someone doesn't like heat, though? Tell us, please.
That is perfectly fine. Not everybody has to like everything in this world. So one of the things that we have learned over the course of time is that if it says jalapeno on it, people who do not like heat won't try it, and that's totally fine. One of the questions that I start off any conversation when we're talking to a customer is, do you like spicy? And if the answer is, how spicy is it? Then my response is, we're probably not for you. And that's fine. You know?
And I mean, so part of what we do now with the peanuts are very mild. They've got a little bit of heat, but they're mild. And the syrup, by being able to squeeze as much as you want, or our newest rollout was single serve packets, you can control how much heat you're using.
Yes, and that's a brilliant that's a brilliant idea with the single serve packets, because what Glenn has done, he has dumped out the candied peanuts and he put the syrup on the side and he's dipping the peanuts into the syrup.
For me, it's the hotter the better.
That's
good,
right.
Man.
Yeah, no, right. I'm perfect.
What we really believe in is we really want to give the customer, we want to give every person the ability to control how much they're consuming. So if you want, you can dump the whole bag of peanuts in your mouth at once. You can enjoy them one by one. So you control the amount of heat.
Oh, it's a great idea, really.
Now, you guys already do chocolates and syrup and powder and also a sugar. What else do you have that you think you could be developing, or are you just happy with that lineup?
So our newest rollout, besides the syrup packets, is a trail mix.
Ooh.
That sounds good.
It's our dark chocolate fire bites, pineapple, and almonds.
Nice. Mm.
It's nothing I don't like.
Crunchy. You've got what's that?
Nothing I don't like. All good stuff.
That's a double negative. That would be
nothing I don't like. I know that. What's that?
Yeah, that's great. Excellent.
Thank you.
Well,
thank
you guys have a phenomenal lineup. The product is delicious. It's packaged well. Yep. I love the design. It's clean. It's bold. It's crisp.
It's perfect.
Yeah, it's perfect. There you go. Do you have any plan?
Everyone should go to our website to check out the packaging they're talking about. It's on our website now.
Okay. Yeah. Now, do you have any plans to go mass market? Because to me personally, this is something that I would love to see in the grocery aisle. A packet of one of these. It's something completely out of the ordinary.
Totally different.
Totally different, but great. Have you had discussions with any mass retailers?
We've gotten
some interest.
We have, and we'd love to be down in the Philly area. You've got some fantastic stores. I mean, I know. DeBruno Brothers is one that comes off the top of my head.
And yeah, yeah.
You've got some fantastic places that, yes, we would like to be there.
How about
in fact, tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, we have a phone.
Well,
you need to go on Shark Tank.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with Glenn. This is a wonderful, a one of a kind.
Absolutely.
We haven't come across something like that on this show yet, and you've hit it. It's a home run.
Good.
Well, we definitely.
It's perfect.
It's perfect.
That's perfect. High praise for neither of us have any. We didn't start off with any food background at all. So
well, you've done great. Well, Little Bird Kitchen is where it's at. Sarah and Corey, why don't you give us your website or social media or anything like that before you go?
Sure. So it's littlebirdkitchen.com and it's littlebirdktchn for Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Thank you so much. Have a great
day. It was perfect.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Anytime.
And talking about something else that's perfect, Glenn.
What would that be as I was drinking an iced tea?
That would be the perfect chef based out of Philadelphia, Chef Barbie Marshall, who is named the most influential chef in Pennsylvania by Cooking Light magazine. What's going on, Chef Barbie?
Hello, Bobby.
Hi, guys.
What's up? I've
never heard myself referred to as perfect, but thank you.
You're perfect, Barbie.
Take it as it comes. Bask in the glow.
I am. So this week I got to go back to Puero, Venezuela Wave Flavor. Mm-hmm. They've been in studio at least once. We've been there when they opened. And they just launched a new menu for July. It runs from now until the 29th. When I went in, I had a chance to try the patacón burger, which is a beef burger between two fried plantains for buns that were just absolutely amazing with yellow cheese, white cheese, ham, cabbage, chips, green mayo, ketchup, and mustard.
Sounds good.
They still have their chicha drinks, so I had the dulce de leche and the chocolate. I also had the Philly Arepa, which is the Venezuelan take on our cheese steak, since they're based in Philly. And it was really, really tasty. It was not at all like a traditional cheese steak, but definitely the concept was there. Peppers, onions, not so Philly, but, cheese, steak, very much Philly Arepa. So if you want something different, that's going to be the way to go.
It's perfect.
It's perfect. You're perfect.
we're on a perfect kick tonight. Well, that sounds delicious. Anything else?
You are on a perfect kick. So if you want to check out Puero, it's at 524 South 4th Street, which is just a little bit north of 4th and South.
Anything else hot and happening?
Did anything else happen? Is that a hint? Because I can't remember.
No, that was not a hint. That was just me probing to make you think.
You're just being nosy.
If you're forgetting something. But,
No, I'm not forgetting anything just yet.
She was perfect.
But I'll tell you, you'll hear it first if there's anything to tell.
There you go. Well, Chef Barbie, thank you so much for calling in. We'll talk to you again. I won't talk to you next week, but Glenn will be here with a special host, Donato Marino, will be sitting in my seat. So you'll be able to talk to those two individuals. Have yourself a great night.
Take care, Barbie.
Donato with the coffee.
Yes.
All right.
D&L Coffee Services. Have a great week.
So, bye-bye.
That was a great show.
Yeah, it was. Very good.
Well,
it was perfect.
It was. With perfect food.
From That's right.
Tim Monk.
Tim Monk.
Of Monk Man's Barbecue.
Say something, Tim.
Thank you guys for having us.
Oh.
And Glenn, I'll tell you right now, this... the pork belly is I've been eating it the whole show.
I brought in a hunk of bacon that we smoke and season and grill.
And is it on the menu?
Yes.
It's perfect.
It's perfect.
It's more than perfect. I'm stealing it.
That's okay. We'll trade. I'll do your egg rolls and you can do my bacon. I'll tell you how to do it. It's no great. Secret.
Monk Man's Barbecue. Go to Facebook to find out more information. And Sophia, do you want to say goodbye to everybody?
Goodbye.
That was good. Perfect.
That was better than Derek.
Yes.
That was perfect.
That was perfect.
I'm Glenn Gross. I own Fat Jack's Barbecue, Philly, Morrisville, New York State. And stop in, fatjacks.net.
And I'm Derek Tim of BlueJeanFood.com. And man, we had such a great lineup. We had the Minimalist Kitchen, Melissa Coleman. We also had Chef Todd Richards. We also... were welcomed by Tracy Medeiros. I'll probably get this name wrong again. So
you will.
Revival Sherry Horowitz.
You got it wrong.
It's Just Your Imagination. And also Corey and Sarah Meyer of Little Bird Kitchen. And
that was perfect, Derek.
That was perfect. And this is Small Bites Radio, live Sundays, 6:35 p.m. on wildfireradio.com. Syndicated on multiple channels or on iTunes for all of your Apple products the following day. And we end the show like we always do with a joke of the week from the legendary joke teller, Jackie the Joke Man Martling.
Hi, I'm Jackie Martling, and this is Small Bites. An Irish guy and a Jewish guy are eating in an expensive restaurant. When they're done, the bill comes, and the Jewish guy says, "I'll take the check." The next day, the headline in the newspaper reads, "Irish ventriloquist shot in restaurant."